This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Father Frank Berlin.
I'm Jim Brass, Las Vegas Police. You're supposed to be here 45 minutes ago. Where you been?
I've been serving breakfast at the shelter. I understand there's been a death in the church. How soon before you're out of here?
Father, this is a murder investigation.
It's just we hold mass at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry, Father, but this is a crime scene. You're not going to get your church back for a while.
Is it all right if we set mass in the community center?
Yeah, sure. I have no problem with that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound cavalier. It's just we've had over half a dozen deaths this year. Never had to close the church.
Well, that's because in this neighborhood, those derelicts and drug addicts died of heat stroke, overdose, and old age. None of them were strung up in the rafters.
Yeah!
They will make you sacramental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, so I like saying, I like CSI since it first came on the air. When the show first came on, I remember saying, God, it reminded me of the movie Three Kings with George Clooney, with the way the bullets go into the body.
Right.
And you see the inside of the body. And it's the coolest show I'd ever seen up to that point. Still very loyal to the real CSI.
Absolutely.
Not to the Miami one.
The original.
Not to the New York one. The real one.
The real one. The original.
And an unsung hero of that show.
Oh, absolutely. A guy that solves a lot of crime, though.
How long have Rob and I been coming in on Fridays and talking about how Detective Brass pulled it together?
I hope you make him aware of just how much you guys talk about him. You have been talking about that particular character for over 2 years.
Well, I thought about it once I started really paying attention to all the characters on CSI.
Right.
I realized that this guy, the actor, Paul Guilfoyle, was in a lot of my favorite movies. He was in the movie Primary Colors, which was the John Travolta movie about Bill Clinton.
Right.
He was also in Air Force One.
What is he in Air Force One?
He's one of the guys that's in the big room with the president's
he's
wife.
He's a president's assistant,
with,
right?
With the president. He's one of those guys that screams, you know, don't do anything to the
White
president.
White House staff is what he is, right.
And Sam Jackson movie, The Negotiator.
Right.
With what's his name, the guy that's the other guy. Oh, is he on the phone?
We could go on and on and on.
Here he is now, Paul Guilfoyle.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, boy, yeah. There's the voice. There's the guy, Jim Brass from CSI. Listen, God, love the show, love you, what a great actor you are. Why is it you think, Paul, that at least as a fan of the show, I think that CSI is CBS's best-kept secret, that they hate announcing the fact that there's a new CSI coming on. They hate announcing the fact that CSI is the number one show. It seems you guys get crapped on all the time by your own network. Really, no respect.
Am I thinking that maybe you guys are under the CBS banner as well?
Yeah, we are.
You are correct. It's just that CSI is the jewel in the CBS crown.
Yeah, well, someone once said CBS stands for Can't Bear Spending. So maybe they don't really want to spend too much on the advertisement.
That is true, but CSI, runaway hit, everybody knows that, the number one show on TV. Everybody's great in the ensemble cast. You're particularly great. Big fan of yours. I am of all of your acting work.
It's a trailblazing show, Paul. I mean, it really is. We've all been watching it for a long time, but it's got so many special effects and so many different elements of it that were really new, that were put on TV for the first time. And I would think that when you're there, obviously you're creating the illusion like you do on a TV show, but it just some of the areas, like especially the forensic stuff, goes so close to the real thing. It must. I just wonder if it would ever be a weird experience being part of that.
No, you're right about a couple of things. One is the ensemble is really good. I mean, that's a secret word. I mean, we seem to have one of every kind of person. I mean, including one of every kind of actor. I mean, we're very close. We're friends, and that works out. That makes it a really good group to work with, and that helps. And I think that comes through on the TV show. That's true. And as an ensemble, we also work together to solve crimes, which also works together. Now, but the forensic stuff, yeah, it's truly sort of a high tech world. I think that it looks a little easier than it probably is, and it certainly is a lot, it's a lot more time-consuming in real life. But
right.
they're all real things that we use, like luminor. I mean, I learned all these kind of terms.
Luminor.
Yeah, you just spread a little light. Oh, there's a fingerprint. We seem to find them really quickly, but, there it is. This is that fingernail. I know that's that.
Oh, here's a question for you about CSI. We keep reading all the stories that the real police departments, I'm sure you've heard these stories too, they say people now watch CSI and they think, how come real crimes are not being solved faster? Because the guys on CSI go out, get out there.
It's a big deal.
They're dangling.
Oh, yeah.
Get out
no, there. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know. And also, the other thing, too, is I'm told, too, by friends of mine who are lawyers, and because I'm an actor and I know a lot of lawyers, is that they, that people tend to think, people tend to really want in law cases, they want to see the evidence. They want to see the DNA in, a traffic ticket. Well, let me see the DNA off the steering wheel. I mean, they really want to, they're demanding a lot of like high tech results that really don't really come into play in a lot of cases. So, I was also told that by a guy that they're not allowing the criminals who want to sit around the TV in federal prisons and tune into CSI as they're worried that the next time they do a robbery, they're going to be in a hazmat suit, so that they don't leave any evidence behind. I mean, so there's a lot of ancillary things that happen because the crime show is so detailed.
I have no idea whether you'd be able to answer this question or not. It just popped into my head.
I'm sure I can answer every question.
Well,
you
it's
ask.
More of a crime question than a CSI question.
Yeah.
I would wonder if you, obviously you have to do some research when you're doing a role like this. Any crime role, you got to kind of know what's going on as far as forensics. Are you aware of any particular jurisdiction that has more of the state-of-the-art equipment and does Las Vegas itself? Do they have a state-of-the-art like you would see on CSI?
Las Vegas does have a state-of-the-art, which is one of the reasons why when the kid who lived in, he's kind of a lazy writer, he just happened to live in Vegas, but he found out that the Las Vegas crime lab is like the number two crime lab in the country. I think, it also goes around some, and of course there's a famous criminologist, forensic scientist, Dr. Henry Lee in Connecticut, who does a lot of cases and sort of freelances and travels around a lot, a little bit if that gets into Gil Grissom, he's like the,
right.
And I think that crime lab up there is the number one lab, handles, it's just in terms of its sort of success rate.
You were able to answer that. That's good. I'm glad.
Here's one for you about the characters on CSI, because the longer the show is on, the more it seems, and I'm happy about this, we're seeing more of the characters, and there still is, the guy with his head coming apart, but you get the characters as well. What about your guy? I thought they were going to give Jim Brass, I thought they were spinning you off when they had the episode when your daughter became a prostitute and you went off to Los Angeles. It was like a two-parter. And then recently, Jim Brass, there was a problem with you shooting a guy and having bad memories about that. You, as an actor, you like that better than just the shoot 'em up stuff when they give you guys real background, right?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, as an actor, you're creating your own background anyway, no matter what role you do. And certainly as a character actor, you even do more of that kind of work because oftentimes the movie or the television show doesn't support it. So you do the work on your own anyhow, and you have a whole backstory that you use to enrich, even when you just say, hey, good morning. It's kind of loaded with whatever else is going on in your life. And I kind of more like the idea that it was more authentic, the way all of our workplaces is. I'm sure it's the same way at your radio station, where we don't always share everything so personal with each other about what goes on in our private lives. There is a tendency now to even be more private, or try to be, than it, especially in the workplace. In professionalism seems to be more in the forefront than mm-hmm. personality. And I think that's sort of reflected in our show, and I really like it best when we stick to that. I mean, occasionally, and of course, there's no way that we can't. Sometimes our private lives do intersect in our professional ones, and they require usually immediate attention. Usually they're somewhat traumatic, and that happens, and you get the support of your coworkers. But you wouldn't want to do that all the time. Otherwise, you're going like, oh, no, not that again. Oh, you know what I mean? So I think it touched the chord of having that, we're always striving for authenticity, and I certainly am, even in my work, and no matter what I do, even if I'm playing a priest or a gangster or a chief of staff or any other of the jobs that I do. So I think I like that a lot. I don't really want to delve too far deep into personal lives. There is a certain couple of through lines going through our episodes of people's personal lives and secrets are being revealed, but I'm not a big fan of that.
See, I am to an extent.
It's
like
interesting.
I like at the very end of the episode when you see Grissom, going to bed with the girl when you know that they're having some type of relationship, but is never really addressed.
Well, it looks like a relationship is having in an old age home, for heaven's sakes. I mean, my God, it's not. They're not charging at each other. They seem to be doing crossword puzzles in their robes.
They're kind of mellow.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you're going to do it, do it.
As far as CSI goes, when you have a when I first started watching the show, it always seemed to me I thought that they were basing each and every episode on real crimes that happened. That's not necessarily true, is it?
No, no, it is true. I mean, this
it is true. All, so it yeah, is based no,
we,
in reality.
Listen, especially the producers, I mean, we kind of hold of a lot of people. And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of crimes, you know, and there are a lot of crimes in the West. Even we just focused on the West.
Right.
And, and we have a couple of criminology, and most of the crimes really happened. And I remember in the early days, they were
God,
all
that creeps
you know,
me
based
out.
On real life. And the real thing is the real stories oftentimes don't have, we sometimes gave our criminals a reason, like, you know, they were being abused at home, so the guy came back, or the daughter was being abused, so the boyfriend came back and shot the father and the kid ran off. But you know, the real stories are the 15-year-olds wanted to go sleep in a motel. The parents said no, so the kid just shot him, and they slept in a motel together. I mean, it was just extremely random. Extremely, there was no reason for it.
Right,
it was very, very cruel. And so the real stories are sometimes even heavier than what we portray. I mean, I think random violence is the worst, is the most unexplainable one. You know,
and when we were talking about the ensemble cast on CSI, also, if you would just for a second talk about what it was like when William Peterson took some episodes off, and, you know, Liv Schreiber is there, and at first I was like, oh, hey, I really dig Grissom. What are you doing? But as it turns out, it was a really good change of pace, really good writing. The guy's an outstanding actor, and you normally don't find primarily movie guys, you know, coming down to, excuse me for saying that, but coming down to the level of being on TV, is it?
Well, yeah, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of the way my generation thought. Like, and I considered myself, this is my first TV show, movie guys coming down in class almost like it was a racehorse. But that's a leftover kind of old-fashioned, antiquated way of looking at television, because frankly, in the last few years, some of the good television shows like CSI have been on par with some of the sort of mediocre movies.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think you're going to see more and more, and, you know, I mean, people think, you know, other actors who've made a lot of movies, I mean, I've made 90 of them, are going to want to do television shows for a number of reasons. One is because the work is at least, has some intelligence, and especially as people get a little older. And Liev saw that opportunity, and also he could come in and do it for, he's mostly a theater guy, really. He's back in New York now doing Eric Bogosian's play Talk Radio on Broadway.
Oh, that's right. He's doing that right now.
That's right. And so it's great to bring people in, but I really think that's kind of, I've been told, even other than my buddy Al Pacino, who keeps telling me, no, you know, just when you come out of that TV show, everything will be going to be okay. You know, he's the only guy, he's the last of the Mohegans as far as people who think, but that's a sort of generational concept. I think television really has come up to the plate.
Agreed.
And provided really good stories and scripts. I think the workload is much harder, and it certainly takes a lot. You have to really be a nimble actor to be able to work in television, that's for sure.
You got to be recognized all the time. I think I mentioned I spotted you in a million of my favorite movies, Primary Colors with John Travolta. You're really outstanding in that. Even The Negotiator, all these movies. If I had seen you on the street before CSI, you would have been a guy I would have said, oh, hold on, I know him from this and this and this. But now when you go out, it's got to be nonstop. You're the CSI guy, right?
Well, to some degree, yeah, only because, you know, but that's okay. Everything should be current. But people who are real sort of like followers of acting, you know, real just acting, they come up and say some of the most esoteric stuff, because they really want to let me know that they know, you know, deep into the, you know, the pattern of the work of something that happened in 1976 or something. I mean, they want to go way back. And so it's, you know, to show me how deep they are involved, I mean, in watching acting. And they say some fairly complimentary and intelligent things. But now, television is so popular, and you're in people's homes, that you can't avoid the fact that last night I took George Eads, for instance, to the Kings hockey game. I've seen tickets there, and we were in the stands, and people recognized me and said, oh, this is the guy from CSI. I said, hey, look, you get 2-for-1 tonight.
You sound seriously, I might want to, just listening to you and not knowing you that well, it sounds like you're enjoying this part of your life, that this is a lot of satisfaction.
You know what? I don't know if I'm talking to Don or Mike.
This is Mike.
Raise your right hand.
No, I'm Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I tend to enjoy, you know, I'm a reasonably happy guy. I mean, I've been doing the job that I want to do has been my only job, you know, and, you know, I look, I, you know, I'm a guy who looks there's no reason not to be unhappy about it. I mean, certainly I'm working, and it's a successful show. I feel good about it. And, I always try to find ways to feel good about my work. My work takes place between the words action and cut. And in that time, I certainly enjoy doing it. And if it's a popular show, I mean, I don't mind it being popular and having work every day. I kind of come from that background anyway, sort of working-class background.
True actor, you're glad to be working.
Yeah, I like working.
Very unpretentious you are. I just spoke like Yoda, but you're very... Very
well, I don't understand. Well, I mean, the word pretentious would be horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't know. I think everybody should be unpretentious.
Oh, I'm pretentious.
Otherwise, you're pretentious.
I love being pretentious, please.
Yeah, you're the one with the ascot. No, I see.
I'm a schmuck.
Who's your favorite hockey player?
You got the
Paul?
Brand new Mercedes, huh?
Who's your favorite hockey player?
You know, I was watching Matty Nordstrom and guys like that, and Matthew Schneider, the guys who really hold teams together, a little older, of course, and Chris Chelios. And those guys, they're sort of people who play defense and hold the team together and do it quietly and do their job well and professionally, because I kind of relate to that, I suppose, in my own job.
Very good.
All right, Mike, I'm going to surprise you here with a hockey question.
Oh, good.
I know that you know that I don't really like hockey.
That's right.
Paul, you're a big hockey fan. What about that goon? Mike, we used to know this guy, Chris Simon.
Chris Simon of the Washington Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
He used to play, now he's with the Rangers.
Games. Listen, I played a couple of charity games with Chris. He was a nice guy. We played together. We raised some money at the time for kids with cancer. And when I think he was on the Ducks at the time a few years ago.
Right.
And he's a nice guy. You know, listen, things happen. Things get out of control. People's... In nature, sometimes takes over their actions. You know what I mean? That's why we have CSI.
Absolutely. It's an escape for everybody. It happened last night in another, I think, the Rangers Flyers game. A guy unfortunately got knocked out, taken off on a stretcher. But and most times in a hockey fight, nobody gets really
that
badly.
Here's the last thing for you about CSI. Because you mentioned you guys get along. You are an ensemble. You mentioned you go out with George Eads. I was curious when another network does something like they put Grey's Anatomy on against your show, and they make a big deal about we're going up against CSI, we're going up against the number one show on TV. Do you actors get together at any point and say, hey, do you believe they're throwing another piece of crap up against us?
No. You know what?
Oh,
I mean, listen, actors are a whole tribe unto themselves. And it's not the actors who are saying anything, hey, we're going up against CSI. Actors are all trying to do what I just said earlier. They're trying to do their work and do their work well and authentic in between these words, action and cut. They're all doing it the same thing, the guys in Grey's Anatomy. I know a couple of the people on it. And so, I think the whole hyped up sort of rivalry is... to be number one is a truly American thing that we should all take a quick look at. I mean, on any level, we're the number one, whatever. We're the number one Tuesday night between 8:30 and 5. You can qualify forever, I'm the number one left-handed, juggler.
Unpretentious you are.
Ridiculous. So I don't think anybody, what's good is that at least television, if it creates, I guess, some awareness that, television's people trying to do quality work, and on Thursday nights, people have a lot of choice.
Yeah, and you do great quality work, and it's exciting to talk to you. It really is.
Great.
We do want to thank you for your time, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're big fans, and we'd like to have you back on sometime.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
All right,
okay.
Nice talking to you.
Be well.
The great Paul Guilfoyle.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nice actor, nice guy.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Wow. That was
that's
a lot
nice
of fun.
To have a guy on the show who's not a total dick.
Oh, that's great.
Like David Cassidy or Miss High Times.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
You know, he's got the mindset of I think we've talked to enough actors recently where I'm starting to see some patterns where these guys have to, you never know. It's going to be one day or it's going to be 7 years. They have
right.
to be grounded in order, that's why you sound happy. He said, I'm always happy. He sounds like he keeps it together.
Yeah, everything I've read, though, says maybe Peterson is the guy I need to speak to.
I hear he's a little difficult.
I've seen Peterson on William. I like on Peterson. Like
you think
I know.
He might be a little pretentious?
Well, I have seen William Peterson on shows saying, frankly, I'm upset that they have other CSIs.
Yes, he always has been.
I'm upset that David Caruso is getting all this attention. I'm the CSI guy.
I would suspect that if you talk to William Peterson, he would say it like this. He would say, well, I just think they're watering down the quality of our work.
That, in essence, is it. And I also saw William Peterson interviewed about the reason I asked him about the Grey's Anatomy thing. Was
right.
I saw William Peterson on Entertainment Tonight saying, they can throw anything in the world at us, and we're still going to do great work.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe that guy, Paul Guilfoyle, is right from his standpoint. He lowballs it.
I don't think they're like us. I think the actors on that level that have been
Nobody's
doing it a long
like
time,
us.
They, they're
like
not
us.
As like, you know, kind of pit bulls. You know, we're, you know how we look at competition.
Nobody's like us. Can you imagine if someone came over to CSI and said, hey, guess what? I heard what McDreamy said about you. You know, and that they'd be like a CSI guy picking up the phone and going, hey, McDreamy, I'm going to kick your ass.
They'd be on the set of Grey's Anatomy and they get a funeral wreath from all the crap. From the whole cast at CSI.
Send them black roses when the ratings come out.
We're taking you down.
You know, speaking, he was talking about hockey there for a second. And Chris Simon, did you happen to see SportsCenter last night in that little little fight? That
yes, I did.
You don't see that very often in a hockey game. You really don't see one punch, the guy goes down. And you can always tell when the guy gets knocked out. He's
right,
got a little,
his hand
a little spaz hand.
And it's the involuntary spaz.
And you know that he is O-U-T. That was amazing to watch.
And I love the double standard. Like I said, I'm not a hockey fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
And I love the fact that if Kobe Bryant throws his elbows around, they talk about taking him out for 25 games. And really, they have serious discussions like, what's Kobe doing with his elbows? Meanwhile, it's like, oh, yeah, here's another guy in hockey who took out his stick and bludgeoned a guy. Hockey's a great sport.
You know, hey, it wasn't a big deal. Only short-term memory loss.
He'll be fine.
Seriously, he had short-term memory loss.
Sure.
And the way they said it on SportsCenter was, well, he had short-term memory loss, but they expect him to be fine.
You know, it reminds me of the beginning of Jerry Maguire, right? That's where Jerry Maguire gets his wake-up call, so to speak. Is when he's sitting there in the hotel room with his goon hockey player, who's his
right.
client, and the hockey player is like, duh, I can play, I can play. And the kid looks at Jerry Maguire and says, you know, you're a dick for doing this to my dad.
Oh, it's fun. He was fun to talk to, man. He really was. Cool guy, different kind of guy.
Too bad we couldn't draw him out more.
What, I'm sorry, Buzz?
I said it's too bad we couldn't draw him out more.
Yeah, I mean, he did like to talk about himself.
He,
I love that.
He did enjoy that.
I wonder what he was enjoying for lunch. It sounded like he was rummaging around his kitchen.
Pots and pans, I could hear, yeah.
Not as bad as Marv Albert that one time. He was he said he was eating a sub.
Marv got 2 seconds to come on the air with us. What did he say?
I'm eating a sandwich.
I'd love to, guys, but I'm eating a sandwich.
I loved it, but I'm eating a sandwich, and we found out he was chewing on something else.
Oh.
Some well, he was.
Yeah. Some girl's underpants.
Yeah, or her back.
Yeah, her back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. I forgot he was into that whole thing.
Yeah.
God, time heals all wounds.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to get Peterson on the show. I don't think we could ever get Peterson. No.
Billy Peterson. I like Billy Peterson in that movie, The Contender, too.
Oh, he's fantastic in The Contender.
That movie with
Sam Elliott.
And also with The Big Lebowski.
Joan Allen.
And who's The Big Lebowski? What's his name?
Damn it. Now I'm blacking. Come on now.
Jeff, who's The Big
Jeff
Lebowski?
Bridges. Jeff Bridges.
What?
Mike had it.
Thanks. I did get it.
Mike Spiewak had it today.
I had it today. I didn't even have to look in the book.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.